ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्ध्रस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षु उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance to him and all members of Sri Puram.
So this morning's presentation is on the power of prayer. And I'm going to start with a few examples of the power of prayer. A little description, short. And then Maharaj is going to expand on that idea. So the first... Many of you have read the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which we have the account of Gajendra the elephant. And Gajendra's story is quite interesting. I just summarized it here in one slide. The elephant Gajendra had been King Indrajumna in a previous life, but was cursed by Agastya Muni to take that animal body. He lived in Shwetadweep near Mount Trikuta, which was very idyllic and situated near a large lake. Gajendra forgot everything of his previous life, but when he was attacked by a crocodile in the lake and could not escape after 1,000 years of struggle, he remembered a prayer he had learned in his previous life. At first he prayed to be saved from his immediate danger, but at last he prayed for eternal liberation from material life. Lord Vishnu appeared on his carrier, Garuda, and delivered Gajendra. So this is very interesting. I mentioned, I think Maharaj referred to Gajendra early in one of his talks. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, when Gajendra finally remembers his prayer and the beautiful prayers that he chants, that, as Maharaj mentioned, the devotees of the ISKCON movement should also memorize some prayers. And he gives some examples in the Sringa prayer, Chakramani prayers like that. And then what Maharaj didn't mention, and maybe some of you didn't hear, is that Prabhupada says in the purport, and therefore, even if they become animals in the next life, they'll still remember the prayer. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a sobering purport. But the idea is that in distress, the prayer that we utter should be uttered in that mood of utter humility and urgency. And this induces, this is more likely Krishna will respond to that. And we have examples of Gajendra, and we'll give a few others. Gajendra was delivered, and so was the crocodile. The crocodile was killed, and Gajendra achieved complete purity. He then took on the Gandhava body, but it says, Srila Prabhupada says that he was a pure devotee at that point. So the next example we have is Srila Prabhupada's prayer. We mentioned this in one of our early talks. Markine Bhagavad Dharma. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have it down yet. Okay, there we go.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada's prayer in Markine Bhagavad Dharma, which means preaching Krishna consciousness in the West, which he wrote on the ship Jaladuta. Was this the one just before he landed or right after he landed?
Just before.
This was answered by Krishna, and thus, with his empowered words, Prabhupada was able to inspire thousands of apparently unqualified people to surrender to Krishna. So this famous line of the prayer, O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands, so if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. And Srila Prabhupada expresses in that prayer, you may recall, that that his power of speaking will be effective in entering into the hearts of these benighted souls in the West that he was about to meet. And he felt hopeless and helpless there. He expresses in this prayer that Krishna is completely in control. You brought me here for some reason. Now, if you want me to fulfill it, please empower me to speak. Make me dance as you like. And fulfill the meaning of the name Bhaktivedanta, which means one who understands that bhakti is the ultimate end of all knowledge. So we can see Srila Prabhupada's prayer was gloriously fulfilled by Krishna, and we're sitting here today. And finally, the example, we all have examples of prayer being fulfilled. Oh yes, sorry. This is a picture of japa. In our chanting of japa and kirtan, we also experience the power of prayer. Each devotee can directly experience how the process of bhakti, centered on the chanting of the holy name, has transformed his life. That is Lord Krishna responding to our sincere prayerful chanting. That transformation, said Srila Prabhupada, was his real magic and miracle. Sometimes people would ask if Srila Prabhupada could show some magic, and he would point to his devotees sitting nearby.
is that this is the only miracle or the only magic I had. And it's the most wonderful. Who cares if someone can produce a little dust, you know, from his hand or whatever? You know, what good is that? But to actually transform the lives of thousands and millions of people by preaching Krishna consciousness, that's a really valuable transformation. And it's all due to, you know, whatever transformation we individually undergo, and we feel the benefits of chanting, that's a result of our sincere chanting and calling out to Krishna, which is the essence of all prayer. So those three examples are what I thought. There are many others. And Maharaj.
Wow.
Hare Krishna. You get the calm, as they say. They're going to fix that. Okay. You have to find it on there now.
On the stick, there's a thing that says power of prayer.
Okay.
Interesting. Same title as his. You were really fast, though.
I was fast. I can go on if you want. You want me to expound?
We'll
we can share.
Dribble back and forth a little bit. Here, pass the ball. On the board over here is a prayer by Madhavendra Puri. And we can chant together. Madhavendra Puri chanted it who knows how many times. Thousands and thousands and thousands of times. It's just this little prayer. He'll let us chant it a few thousand times, at least a few times. Hey, you're the Sanskrit pro.
Hai dina dayadranata he.
Hai dina dayadranata he.
Maturanata kadavalokise.
Maturanata kadavalokise.
Vidyam tvadaloka kataram.
Vidyam tvadaloka kataram.
Dayatam brahmati kinkaromyaham.
Dayatam brahmati.
Three times.
Yeah, sure.
Hai dina dayadranata he. Maturanata kadavalokise.
Maturanata kadavalokise.
Vidyam tvadaloka kataram.
Vidyam tvadaloka kataram.
Daitam brahmati kinkaromyaham. Ahidina dayadranata he. Maturanata kadavalokise. Vidyam tvadaloka kataram. Dahita brahmati kinkaromyaham.
Others?
Ahidina dayadranathe. Maturanata kadavalokise.
Vidyam tvadalokakataram.
Dahita brahmati kinkaromyaham.
Ahidina dayadranathe.
Maturanata kadavalokise.
Vidyam tvadalokakataram.
Daitam brahmati kinkaromyaham.
Aidina dayadranathe.
Maturanata kadavalokise.
Hridayam tvadalokakataram.
Daitam brahmati kinkaromyaham.
Ladies? Aidina dayadranathe. Maturanata kadavalokise. Hridayam tvadalokakataram.
Dahita brahmati kinkaromyaham.
Aidina dayadranathe.
Maturanata kadavalokise.
Hridayam tvadalokakataram.
Dahita brahmati kinkaromyaham.
One more. I'll read the translation that Srila Prabhupada provided, and then...
No, because there's another verse. I thought, this is by Madhava Nupuri.
Oh.
Kama Dina. I thought I mentioned it. I don't have a poetry of this one. I should. Oh. I know. I'm sorry.
Gee. Disappointed.
I know.
You can tell the other one.
Okay.
Oh, my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? Kim karomyaham, what shall I do now? I'll read it again. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? And I'll read the purport, part of the purport. Beginning from Madhavendra Puri, down to the spiritual master of, beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the Acharya named Lakshmi Pati, there was no realization of devotional service and conjugal love. Sri Madhavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, and this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured South India and met the Tattvavadis, who supposedly belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. Paragraph. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed, "How Krishna can be loved in separation? Thus, devotional service in separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Math Sampradaya, Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya, to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord." Humility, remember? Dina. Thus, he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayadra Nata, as did Madhavendra Puri. He's the master of those who are so unfortunate, in the mood of separation, unfortunate. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service, because Krishna had gone to Mathura. Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus, paraphrase translation, "My dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I'm very poor, and you are very merciful, so kindly have compassion upon me and let me know when I shall see you." So this is a prayer. There's two points that I want to make. One of them is a prayer that Madhavendra Puri said again and 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 again. And by saying the prayer again and again, it wasn't mechanical, it was devotional. And by that prayer, he entered into the mood of the prayer. So repetition of prayer has part of the power of prayer. Same with the Gajendra Moksha. In his previous life, King Indradumna said a standard prayer again and again and again and again and again. And it had an effect. Even in the body of an elephant, it had an effect. Because it gave him, in that dangerous situation, it gave him remembrance of the personality of Godhead. Prabhupada calls this mantra upasana. What's the meaning of upasana? Worship. So one worships the Supreme Lord through these mantras or stotras or prayers. And by repetition of standard prayers, besides our own individual opening of our heart and praying to the personality of Godhead, there are standard prayers that are given by perfected souls. It doesn't say where Indradumna Maharaj got the prayer that he was chanting, but it was some standard prayer. And in a similar way, exactly in the same way, Prabhupada said we should chant the Brahma Samhita prayers, that, as he referred to them, the Chintamani prayers. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And in Prabhupada's language was, enter into the spirit of this hymn. Enter into the spirit of this hymn. So one time saying such a nice prayer as this one, it's not so easy, we're not so Krishna conscious, to enter into the spirit of the hymn or the prayer. But reciting again and again in a devotional mood, reflecting on the personality, in this case Madhavendra Puri, and then moving to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and what's the mood of this gift that they want to give. So the power was, of course, his Krishna consciousness, and the prayer itself was an instrument to enter into a yet undiscovered mood of love, or not disclosed mood of love, a mood of conjugal love and separation. So specifically, giving entrance into very, very special Braja Prem, and the same love of Krishna in the mood of the residents in Vrindavan is the gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha. Here's the medium, of course, the Maha Mantra, but in this particular mood, because other people may chant Maha Mantra and may not connect with this mood. So the means is there. But even if people don't know this prayer, because it's given, the Maha Mantra given by Lord Chaitanya, everything is there. But by further reading and understanding of the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially this wonderful literature of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj is giving us a very explicit prayer. So maybe from that, this other prayer of Madhavendra Puri?
Yes, could I just say something about this?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to back and forth here.
Okay. So, I had the great good fortune of working on this book that this prayer appears in. And Maharaj mentioned that about chanting it again and again and again. It's described, there's a lead-up to this verse that describes this. This is the greatest of mellow poems. And just like you rub sandalwood and it becomes more and more fragrant, similarly, the more you chant this verse, the more that you appreciate like that. And so then when I finally came to the verse and the wonderful purport of Prabhupada gave, I said, I got to memorize this verse. You know, it's not that difficult. It's the same meter as Nadanang Nadanang Nisundarim and I Nanda Tanuji. So I immediately memorized it. I was only 2 years in the movement, you know, and this is the most advanced verse. This is like a verse of extremely deep emotion of separation of Srimati Radharani for Krishna. So, but being, you know, fool that I was, I just dove right in. You know, I said, okay, I'm going to memorize this verse. I'm going to chant it again and again and again. Because that's what it says to do. And,
Look at him.
And I distinctly remember, you know, of course, how much could be understood of this. But
This is, you know, I'm thinking of Radharani in Mathura. I'm thinking of this. This word Dina, of course, and Dainya. This is the a person who is Dainya is Dina. In other words, this is the person. Dainya is a quality of feeling low and humble and wretched and neglected and desperate for Krishna. That's the And this Dayardra means literally heart melting with mercy. Ardra means to flow. You know, the heart is melting with mercy. She says like that, and you are my Lord, like that. Every word is important. And so I was just thinking of the meaning and entering into the mood as far as I could in my neophyte state, which I'm still in. And I felt ecstatic, you know. I mean, I was chanting. I remember distinctly, you know, how these, I don't know if you have these incidents, where I'm walking down the stairs in the ashram. It was still in Brooklyn. And I'm chanting this verse, and I'm just thinking, oh, this is wonderful. I just felt so great. I wanted to share it. I think I told many devotees about it. Look what's coming, you know. So this is actually the gifts we'll be giving. And by everything we do, again and again and again, the Hare Krishna mantra, the samsara prayers, everything, you're meant to really think of the meaning of the context, of get into the inner meaning of all of these mantras that we chant. And you'll have a deeper experience. You'll actually, it'll be more effective. Anyway, that's my little vignette on
the power of prayer.
The power of prayer, the power of really taking
so
shelter.
Other verse now.
The other verse. So this verse is in, I shared this several times with you already, in chapter 22 of the Madhyalila, Lord Chaitanya is teaching Sanatana Goswami, and having taught him Sambandha, he now is teaching him the practice of devotion, Abhideya. And near the beginning there, he has this verse. It's not attributed there to Madhavendra Puri, but I learned later from reading one of these books compiled, the Bhaktisiddhanta's lectures. He cites this verse, and he says this was originally by Madhavendra Puri. Prabhupada would quote it occasionally. Kama dinam katina katita palita dhuni deshas. Tesham jata maina karuna natrapa no pishantihi. Utsri jaitan ati yadupate sampratam labdha buddhis. And this is one I put into a poem. So
okay,
go for it.
In
how many ways have I sought to obey the seductive demands of my wicked desires? They've shown me no mercy, yet on I've gone shamelessly trying to quench lust's unquenchable fires. But now I'm rejecting these hellish desires, for my higher intelligence now has awoken. O Krishna, O shelter of fearlessness, please let me serve you with faith that will never be broken. And what's so wonderful about this, Prabhupada's little purport, he talks about chanting Hare Krishna. He says this is the mood that we should chant Hare Krishna in feeling, oh, now, finally, please save me. Please engage me in your service, because it's actually there right in the verse. So. Hare Krishna.
Another example of reciting a prayer again and again, and the power of the prayer released or experienced by the person praying. Nice example is from Sri Brahma Samhita, where we all, those that are familiar with Lord Brahma's early moments of his appearing on the lotus flower, coming from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, pretty, you know, miraculous birth. And then his self-inquisitiveness drove him to search where he has come from. And he very intelligently reasoned, I'm on a lotus flower. Just follow the stem of the lotus flower and I'll find where I came from. Very simple, logical. So he started climbing down the stem and down the stem and down the stem, and he found it was an endless stem. At least from his own sense inspection, he couldn't find the end to the stem. And then he heard three times, tapa, tapa, tapa. So he knew what to do. If we heard tapa, we'd go, you know, what's for lunch? They're only serving khichdi, what's wrong? We registered for the seminar. Why are they just giving us khichdi? But what was his tapa? His tapa was meditating on mantra, mantra upasana. And his mantra was Gayatri mantra, So I'm going to read just two verses from Sri Brahma Samhita where it's described very briefly. Text 24. Then the goddess of learning, Saraswati, the divine consort of the Supreme Lord, said thus to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions, O Brahma, this mantra, and it gives the mantra, will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. O Brahma, do thou practice spiritual association by means of this mantra, then all your desires will be fulfilled. And sure enough, all his desires were fulfilled because he received spiritual association. And spiritual association is Bhaktisiddhanta's translation for the word tapa. Cool, huh?
Mm.
So when we're properly doing austerity, not just eating khichdi when we want something else, but when we're performing austerity like rising early in the morning and attending Mangal Arati and etc., 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 the purpose is not, it hurts. That's the other wrong understanding of tapa. It's spiritual association. And when that's the mood and you enter into the mood of spiritual association and again by regular contact with spiritual association, you become purified. And when you become purified, you then become a fit recipient or receptacle of mercy, and then things start to happen. One feels like Dravida Prabhu was describing. You feel something. I remember specifically we got all fired up, and it was some period of time at the Manhattan Temple. We referred to it as the 55th Street Temple. You missed that happiness. It was a really happy situation. He was happy in another place, but we got this bright idea of chanting the Brahma Samhita prayers every morning, and not just before Radha Govinda, but there was a team of us, the book distributor team. We stood behind Radha Govinda every morning and recited, you know, not at the top of our lungs, but like we were, it was a chorus of men, and just reciting Brahma Samhita for the pleasure of Radha Govinda.
I did that.
You did that?
Yeah, at a different time. I came in October 79 and stayed to the 80, and I used to do that a few times.
Oh, you joined?
I came from Philly, and I came to the BTG.
Okay.
I was in 55th for about a year. I don't know if you were there. I think you were gone by then.
Yeah, I think I was. No.
Were you there in 1980? No.
Maybe. I came here to Chicago to distribute books in Chicago. Remember that happened.
That was I don't remember seeing you there, but it's a long time ago.
Long time. Okay. 32 years ago. Where was I 32 years ago? Anyway, and this was...
Well, I remember standing behind Radha Govinda chanting...
Which temple?
No, in that temple, 55th Street Temple.
Okay.
After I had come in October of 79.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't there.
It was a regular thing by that time.
Okay. Okay. I was in Boston. Boston.
Oh.
Boston.
Oh, okay.
How do you say it in England? Boston. Okay, so there was power in reciting Sri Brahma Sami together in the association of other devotees, what to speak of. You know, it could have been before Radha Govinda, but the pujaris were busy, you know, serving Radha Govinda, so it was behind them. And it was really a powerful experience. Very, very powerful experience. Something like, you know, what Jai Jagannath has started up here, just, you know, before Mangal Arati, this really soft kirtan. I mean, kirtan is always powerful, but, you know, that time of the morning, it's It's fantastic. And doing it regularly and entering with the mood of singing for the pleasure, like singing to wake up the Supreme Lord. I mean, he's already, the pujaris have already done that particular procedure, but it's a classic Vaishnava, or you should say Vedic practice, when it was a practice, bards would come before the king and sing the glories of the king, so he'd wake up, oh, yes, I'm really great. Only this is not somebody that's not really great, this is somebody really great, the personality of Godhead, and singing for his pleasure as he is receiving some morning seva. Very nice. Very nice. And
one little comment.
Yeah. Sure.
I think I mentioned this, but Maharaj maybe didn't hear it. There are a class of, as you mentioned, professional praisers who wake the king and all this, and they're called Vandis. That's kind of what we're talking about, right? Vandanam. So Vandanam, and to be a Vandi for the Lord, chanting for his pleasure, is very much part of the whole process of obeisance, glorification, and prayer. Hare Krishna.
Can you read that? You can read the top one. You can't read the bottom one, can you?
I can read it. Oh, best of the great personalities. It's a little hard. I don't know. You want to reverse it? Or?
Oh,
that'll help.
This is a prayer by Prahlad, specifically a prayer for the deliverance of others. And there are other examples of prayers for the deliverance of others that have efficacy or power. So I can't see it, read it so well. You can read it? There's two prayers. There's multiple. There's the prayers to Lord Srinadev, but in the prayers he specifically, in a humble way, speaking of his own insignificance, and the importance of everyone, not just oneself. This is like, you know, a Sankirtan devotee's bhav, or follower of Lord Chaitanya's mood, or a follower of Prahlad Maharaj's mood. Although he's in the mood of Vaikunthavasi, his concern at the same time is deliverance of others, what to speak of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mood, drawing from this expression.
So, Chan,
sure.
This is, by the way, this prayer and the next one, in this series, to my mind, completely encapsulates Prabhupada's mood coming to America. Some of you may know Naivod Vijay Padadurajira Baitaranya. Does that ring a bell? Anyway, what Prahlad is saying here is that it's interesting because previously he said, "Oh, I'm not afraid of your." Fierce form, but I'm extremely afraid of birth and death. And then he complained, we mentioned that he says, oh, my senses are being drawn everywhere. You know, he takes the position. Now he's saying, I don't have any problem. Right? not Udvijay. I'm not disturbed because wherever I want, wherever I am, even in the middle of the pot of boiling oil, that's the point. Remember his father tried to boil him. He's simply absorbed in chanting Krishna's glories, drinking the nectar, Mahamrita Magna Chitta. And in that way, no problem. But he is lamenting. Shoche Tatova Makacheta Sa Indiata Maya Sukaya Banamudvahatova Mudhan. He's lamenting for us. He's lamenting for the fools and rascals who are trying to enjoy Maya Sukaya, flickering happiness. And then this Paradukha Dukhi mood is feeling the unhappiness of others. And in the next verse, he says, for the most part, those who are after liberation and realization, they give up the cities. They just go along to the mountains, the jungle somewhere. Vimamukti kama. It's a kind of lust. I want to be liberated in the hell with anyone else. That's not Vaishnava. That's not even spiritual. It's just selfishness. So Prahlad says, I'm not like that. I'm going to stay because I don't see anyone else but you who can save these fools and rascals. So therefore, and Prabhupada says in his wonderful purports, that was the mood of coming, leaving Vrindavan, and coming to the middle of the city in order to preach. This is exactly the prayers. We should memorize those prayers. Anyway, my little...
My dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. But, because of the reaction of our own activities, we are suffering on this side, indeed. We have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now, kindly look upon us, not only me, but upon all others who are suffering, and by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. And the other verse, O best of the great personalities,
I'm not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them.
Very interesting. Fools and rascals, I'm concerned with love for them. He's not condemning them, he's condemning the foolishness of them. And as far as they are concerned, he's filled with love for them, feeling how unfortunate it is. And so by such prayer to the Supreme Lord for the welfare of others, that they may be delivered, there's power. There's power. I'm going to read a similar prayer by one of the great associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vasudev Datta, and should be also unreadable. Oh, look, it's readable. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified him, Vasudev Datta immediately became very embarrassed and shy. He then submitted himself, touching the Lord's lotus feet. Vasudev Datta told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, My dear Lord, you incarnate just to deliver all the conditioned souls. I have now one petition, which I wish you would accept. So here's his prayer. My dear Lord, you are certainly capable of doing whatever you like, and you are indeed merciful if you so desire. You can very easily do whatever you want. My Lord, my heart breaks to see the sufferings of all conditioned souls. Therefore, I request you to transfer the karma of their sinful lives upon my head. My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in a hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Vasudev Datta's statement, his heart became very soft. Tears flowed from his eyes, and he began to tremble. In a faltering voice, he spoke as follows. Accepting Vasudev Datta as a great devotee, the Lord said, Such a statement is not at all astonishing, because you are the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. It appears that Lord Krishna has bestowed complete mercy upon you. There is no doubt about it. Whatever a pure devotee wants from his master, Lord Krishna doubtlessly grants, because he has no duty other than to fill the desire of his devotee. If you desire the deliverance of all living entities within the universe, then all of them can be delivered, even without your undergoing the tribulations of sinful activity. Krishna is not incapable, for he has all potencies. Why would he induce you to suffer the sinful reactions for other living entities? Whosoever's welfare you desire immediately becomes a Vaishnava, and Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reactions of their past sinful activities. Power of prayer. They're delivered. You're just praying like that. And if you think that they're, Prabhupada would say it this way, if you think that they're too sinful, there's too much sinful reaction upon them, then transfer their sinful reactions to me. I'll suffer. Deliver them, please. And Lord Chaitanya was so... So the power of prayer, this is... There's three things this morning, for these my message. Repeating and entering into the mood of the prayer. Another is the power is the connecting with association with the Supreme through prayer, and that makes the prayer powerful. One who is so sincerely praying to the Supreme Lord for the welfare of others, it's not imagination. It's very powerful. Just on that note, something that I did a little for presentation to corporate people and stuff like that, college audiences and things like that. I did some research to see what they say in medical science about the power of prayer. And in short, it's powerful. I forget his name, from Harvard University Medical School, doctor or something or other, did 15 years of study to see what is the power of prayer. And the result of, because it's got the Harvard stamp, it's got to be like, you know, really carefully done. Same patient, same disease, same medical care, same hospital, same doctor, same everything. Those that have a spiritual discipline like prayer, they heal better. There's more wellness, well-being, just from prayer. And then after that, he did a second study of the different types of prayer. Are there more effective types of prayer than others in spiritual discipline? And his conclusion after some 12 years of that was, where there's some sacred sound connected with a spiritual discipline or spiritual practice, it has greater efficacy. So Kirtaniya Sada Hari, chant always and chant audibly.
Not only that, if one is a patient and he has a religious background, he's used to praying, you know, in all disciplines. But those who are, I read something about this, those who are prayed for also do better medically. So it's not just the person himself, but others who are invoking, shall we say it, the power of God, the healing power of God. That this is also a scientific study. So I thought that would be interesting. If I could add one thing about Prahlad, because we're talking about this famous prayer, it's right after the one we mentioned about praying with his thunderbolt-like teeth and nails, Lord Nrisimhadev will rip out the material desires in our heart. And I think I mentioned that I memorized that right because I was working on the book. Well, the one right after that is also very much in this mood. Svastastu visvastakalak pasidatam. May there be good fortune throughout the universe. This is Prahlad praying to Nrisimha. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. A lot of devotees memorize this prayer.
This is for your future reference. If any of you here in the audience, or you know somebody, you know, that a friend that is called upon to speak at some kind of an ecumenical or peace like function, this is a fantastic verse. Rabindra Swarup Prabhu was called upon some interfaith thing, and he spoke from this verse. Two devotees I know that were in their graduating class, they were the valedictorian of the class, devotees. So they asked me separately, you know, what should I say? I'm the valedictorian of the class. So I told them, speak this verse, because it's really smooth, doesn't ruffle any feathers. It's like, you know, whatever you call it, it's trans, sectarian. It crosses the border of sectarianism. But the message is very powerful, the power of praying in this way. So who are we? So that's the last point. Who are we? What makes another thing that makes prayer very powerful is purity. And a couple of examples. is, one of them is, the prayers of the demigods to Lord Nrisimhadev. Beautiful prayers. Somehow it just didn't do the trick. He was still angry. Because he wanted to hear the prayers of Prahlad. So they figured that out. They just asked Prahlad, you go make some prayers. And immediately Lord became pacified. So the purity of Prahlad. And the purity means that the prayer is accompanied minimally. The prayer is accompanied by service without a motive. Service without a motive, unalloyed service. Combine prayer with the cultivation during the prayer and outside of the prayer. Unalloyed devotion. Those who are cultivating, sincerely cultivating, unalloyed, unmixed, unmotivated service. Extremely powerful. It adds to the power of the whole thing. Just like another example, and I'm done. Haridas Thakur. When Haridas Thakur was in Puglia, was taken into the custody of the police to be brought before the Qazi for doing this terrible thing of chanting Hare Krishna and becoming recognized as a saint because he was a saint. So they were going to let him have it. And when he went into the prison, there were other similar spiritually minded persons who had similarly been put in the prison. And they were so happy. We have now association of a saint amongst us. Please give us your benedictions. Thank you for coming here. However this was arranged. So he gave his benediction. His benediction was, may you remain like this permanently. No, that's terrible benediction. Why are you giving us that benediction? Then he explained, the benediction is that you're in a very dependent position upon the personality of Godhead because of the circumstance. But I'll tell you, in 2 to 3 days, you'll all be released from prison. But let that mood of feeling yourself fully dependent upon the personality of Godhead remain with you forever. Forever. Not circumstantial created, but forever. So, how did Haridas Thakur know that in 2-3 days they would be freed from prison? They were freed from prison. By the well-wishing, same point, that the prayer for the welfare of another has power, especially when you're pure. So, get pure. Become, strive for purity. Cultivate purity. Do all the things that you do for Krishna with that aspiration, with that cultivation. Become pure, without motivation, and without interruption in devotional service. Then prayer will be especially powerful. Hare Krishna. So we have time for some questions. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
I think it's on. Speak.
So while you say about the prayers, which should be purely, it should have the dependency, and I truly understand with the examples what you cited with Haridas Thakur. We are praying in circumstances like, and we are truly dependent in that state. And when the circumstances are healed or we bypass the circumstances.
Wait, you just went real fast and I couldn't hear the whole thing.
Okay. I'll go slow.
So, I got the first part. Don't do the whole thing again. Just the last part, we spoke real fast.
Okay. When the circumstances are healed or when we bypass the circumstances, our dependency is gone. You know, then it becomes mechanical. So we are dependent. I mean, when I say we, it's absolutely me. The dependency is there only when there is some sort of a circumstances which is bothering.
I gotcha.
So how to always be dependent no matter when there is a circumstance?
Well, this question was asked yesterday. And during the question and answer session, someone wants to turn on the light, that would be very nice. If someone can turn off the projector, that would be second nice. There's two options. You cultivate, and the other is you get slammed. You know, Krishna is very kind. If you cultivate, he will help you. And Krishna is very kind. If he sees that you remain attached to the circumstance and you're dependent upon him when the circumstance is tough, he'll give you tough circumstances. But, you know, we shouldn't put Krishna through that difficulty of giving us trouble, and then we become more dependent. We cultivate. But that's, you know, that's the fallback. That's option two. Plan B, you know, that's not the best one. We hear very carefully. We do our sadhana bhakti very carefully. We do that sadhana bhakti in close association with others that are similarly cultivating. Just spend a little time with Jai Jagannath. And you'll become very clear about the importance of being dependent upon Krishna. He'll help you understand that in various ways. So, but that's good. That's good. It's good. You know, take medicine regularly, not just get slammed. Understand what our real position is. We're dependent. That's reality. Go ahead.
Yes. The process of tapasya was mentioned in relation to Brahma. You remember that, right? Tapasya means he's taking on some austerity for a higher purpose, for purification, as mentioned by Lord Rishabhdev. So there's a difference between tapasya and suffering. And the difference is voluntary, that you voluntarily undergo a difficult condition for purification. And I'll tell you a personal story about Romapad Maharaj.
Uh-oh.
Just to show the difference between him and me. We're back, way back in Brooklyn when, in the early 70s, 73, 74, when book distribution was starting to really get going.
Henry Street,
the old Brooklyn Temple. And I was part of that temple. I have a great fortune of being part of the temple. Maharaj had joined earlier than I did. He was there also. And Romapad Das Brahmachari, he immediately embraced this new austerity of going out to the airport, especially, I think mostly to the airport, and meeting people and distributing books. In fact, he was one of the inspirers for others to go out. And I was in my office doing books, and I was, you know, doing the thing that I've been doing for 40 years. And I was just in awe of these devotees who would voluntarily undertake this austerity of going, because I also went out and I, you know, never got past that part of being like freaked out when people would like reject you and everything, you know. I would go out on the subways sometimes, you know. But the point is that Krishna really responds to that. He reciprocates. So, and what is it? Well, you feel completely dependent, you know. You're helpless in this sea of people rushing by you, you know. How are you going to stop them? How are you going to impress them with this strange book that they don't want and all this? I mean, you look at it objectively, it's an impossible situation.
Yeah, very impossible.
But somehow they succeeded and they were all blessed, those who undertook it, you know. So the answer is, if you're feeling that you're getting away from this feeling of dependence, voluntarily you put yourself in a situation where you have to depend on Krishna for doing the service. And that's how you make a quicker advancement. Hare Krishna. My little addition there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Is it on? You were mentioning the importance of purity.
I'm mentioning which?
The importance of purity.
Yes.
So I was wondering, how does one overcome pratishtha?
How does one overcome
pratishtha?
Pratishtha, the desire for fame and name and fame.
Yeah, the desire for name, fame, and
well, fame. Same. You know, you can get smashed. That's one way to overcome it. Get very attracted to recognition from others and get smashed. It's one way to overcome it. And the other is, you know, same as before mentioned. You know, you hear. you take it seriously, you associate with Jai Jagannath, and you'll be very quickly freed from the hankering for Pratishtha. He'll make sure. Because of his association. So you associate with those that have that quality, and it will help you become free from that quality. Or just become complacent and get smashed. There's at least those two options.
I could have two suggestions.
Yeah.
Another way to do that, to cut off that tendency to get proud, you know, because after all, after 3 weeks in the ashram, we're all pretty good yogis, right?
Yeah.
You could search out some menial service to do, you know, clean the bathrooms, you know, okay, this is my turn to clean the bathrooms. And find a way of glorifying the devotees. You know, devotees are so glorious, but make an effort to actually do that. It's exactly 180 degrees different than Pratishtha, you know what I mean? In other words, if you're always glorifying, I remember once I was riding on a train from Mayapur to Hyderabad. This was 1975. I was there at the opening. I don't know if you were at the opening.
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to a devotee, and I was, you know, he was a senior devotee, having been 4 years in the movement. I was a junior devotee, just 2 years in the movement. So I had the tendency to talk about this one and that one, you know, a little criticizing. We were in this train for like hours, you know, going along. And he cut me off and he said, "Don't do that. You know, I don't want to hear the criticism and this and that. Always try to find a way of glorifying the devotees. Then you'll be protected against that tendency to sink into, you know, criticism or blasphemy, you know." So I always took that. I mean, I haven't always followed it, but whenever possible, I always try to do that. And you see, you know, great devotees like Radhana Swami, one of the things, you'll always find him glorifying some devotees, you know. And he always seems to be very ecstatic doing it. And others too, you know. So that's a perfect antidote to this pratishtasha, which is a danger of feeling proud in oneself and like that. A few practical suggestions.
Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna. Rumi says, after all of these times...
Rumi?
Rumi, Maulana, Maulavi, Rumi. In the West, they call him Rumi. I heard a lot of Swamis, they quoted him in their books and this. Anyway, he says, all of these times, sun never told earth, "You owe me." Now I have a question about something else. It was in the news that last 40 years, we spend more than 30% of the whole resources on the earth. So it means that if it goes like this, less than 100, it's going to be zero. So do you have any suggestion, any pray, any action that we can do to awaken people of the world?
Can someone translate?
Did anybody get it? Do you get it?
Can someone translate from
that? He's going to do it.
Oh, you heard.
Says that we have depleted the resources on the earth
by 30%.
By 30%. If it goes
at this rate, we're going to be without a planet.
Do you have any suggestion for prayer or something that we can do for others so that they're more aware of this problem?
I'll speak.
Huh?
Okay. You're through. Thank you.
You want me to try it?
I have a ready-made answer because I have a whole presentation for different audiences on the title of it is Spiritual Economics. Yeah. And, you know, describing what you're saying plus, you know, 500 other things. We're on a course of destruction. I made this presentation once, the first time, actually, was at Penn State University. And the devotees that were organizing the event purposefully went to promote the event at the Social Sciences and Humanities wing of the university. I didn't know this, but there's a professor that teaches a course just on what you just said plus. So the whole class came. They weren't ordered by the professor to come, but they came out of curiosity. And right in the middle of the presentation, you know, one of the students raised his hand and said, I don't know if you know this, but half the people in the audience, 30 of us here, we're taking this course by this professor that teaches this for the whole semester. But I'll tell you something. Maybe it's just personal, but I think I'm speaking for most of the people in the class. We know that we're getting the signal, the bridge is out, and we're going at 60 miles an hour on the train, and the conductor gets a signal, the bridge is out. And you know what? We're going to keep going. Because myself and the rest of us, we have a certain desire for prosperity and standard of living, and I'm not ready to give it up, even I know the bridge is out. So,
in other words,
you know, and the other students were going, you know, acquiescing. Because, you know, they have to get an A in their exam so they know what to say, but they're not ready to do what they know they need to do. So, you know, so economic prosperity depends upon, I was discussing this with the Chinese student who was with us for a few days, and he's an economics major from China, and, you know, guess what? They're interested in China, building the economy. You guessed it. And to build the economy, what do you need to do? Increase consumption. And because he was hearing from us, like again and again, control the senses and detachment. And he's saying, you know, that's not good for the economy, because then you don't... If this gets really popular in China, then, you know, we're not going to grow our economy. So are you saying that, you know, the whole premise of economic development, consumer economics, is flawed? It was a setup.
He was sent by the government. He was a spy to see what we're doing. Anyway. I'm just kidding.
Those things happen, by the way. I'm trained up. From visiting China. So the answer is yes. It's fundamentally flawed. The whole balloon is going to burst. Whether you look at it from this angle, that angle, without naming the different angles, it's due to collapse. Guaranteed to collapse. It's just a question of when. And aside from the resources, there's so many other. So the answer is spiritual economics. And what's spiritual economics? Well, it's several elements. Control your senses. Everything belongs to Krishna. You use Isa Vasyam Idam Sarvam from Isha Upanishad. And several other elements. There's a spiritual solution to economic glut, the destruction, and so it's not sufficient just to go green, do things that are recyclable. So even if everything was recyclable, we're still using 1.5 planets right now, and we only have one. And as population grows, it's going to be 2, and we only have one. And because of that greed for the resources, even the green ones, then there's competition for the resources. So you get wars and conflict between people. It's going on. Like, you know, it's going on. It's not nice. It's the nature of the system. The system is flawed. So we need to recalibrate the system. And spiritual economics, you know, the Vedic model, in short, where agrarian society and the resources belong to God, and we only use those things that are necessary for our maintenance. And how is that going to happen? Like that student that spoke up at Penn State. Something inside, there has to be a happiness inside that says, that's not what happiness is. There's a happiness inside, I don't need it. But then it doesn't mean, you know, the consumer economics is going to collapse whether we poke the pin in it or someone else, you know, the whole system just folds. It requires the training of people to understand spiritual contentment, yenatma suprasediti, and from that you accept what is necessary and not other things. That greed and selfishness driving consumer economics, because you have to have it to have consumer economics. You have to have the feeling that you need stuff you don't have. And when you do have what you don't have, you got to have something else and more. That's what drives the model. So,
Nityati dena vittena dulabhenatma mrityuna. This is a verse by Vignana Yogendras, leading up to this famous verse, Tasmad Gurum Papadjeta, Jigyashu Shreya Uttamam. There's this concept of Shreya, which means welfare, which includes inner satisfaction without need of all of these consumer things. And what this verse means is that money, in order to prosper in this world, in order to lead a material life, he's saying, which the first thing he says is, karma nyabhranananam dukha hatyai sukhayacha pashyan bhakavaparyasam vitunicharinangita. Ordinary people who get together and have a family and, you know, materialists, that the world is full of them. They undergo so many activities on an individual level and a mass level for two reasons. You can carry two reasons: to diminish unhappiness and increase happiness. Right? Who can deny it? Even the little bugs are doing that. But one should see that ultimately they get just the opposite: that their dukkha is increasing, their sukha is destroyed. And then he goes on with this verse. And in order to try to do that, you know, to engage in these activities, you need money, vitta.
Money.
Nitya arti dena, which always brings misery. Durlabha, very difficult to get. And then this phrase just struck me, it knocked me off my little pillow that I sit on. Atma mrityuna, which is the very death of the soul. All of this greed for money, which is pervasive throughout everywhere, in you know, the West and the East, also China, is the death of the soul. If you're absorbed in that, then you forget about spiritual life. And whatever you buy with it, he gives a little list. Griha putyatma pashubi. You know, the household and the relatives and the animals. You can substitute the cars and the vehicles. Ka priti sadites chalai. How can there ever be any satisfaction with these things, which is so difficult to get and which are flickering, which come and go? And, you know, like, I got this iPad. Ah, it's the latest one. But now they're making iPad 4. They want me to be dissatisfied with this one, see? So I'll give it up and I'll get a new one, see? That's the consumer. So the next verse is, Tasmad gurum papadjeta jigyashu shreya uttama. If you want ultimate good, if you want real happiness forever, you know, what you're searching for in the wrong places, you have to find a guru and take shelter. And then he defines who that is. Sabdeparechanishnatam brahman upashamashriyam. That the guru is fixed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Shabda, and the scripture. It means that he knows, acts, and teaches. That's the acharya. And then he can give you shreya. He can actually give you the key to how you can be happy inside. So in other words, I love it. It's so concise, but very consistent.
Very nice.
And it's exactly the answer for all of this. Unless you have that inner joy, you're actually tapping into the reservoir of pleasure. You know, we have the famous pamphlet, which is in your heart, which is Krishna consciousness. Then you have to go outside. Bahirata manana, says Prahlad. And you'll never be satisfied. And that's the whole society, is andaya tandaya, the blind leading the blind. The whole philosophy is about that. It's a great seminar. I'd like to get the notes for that you could.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Shri Kishore Kishori ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki jai.